All right, thank you so much, BBS Radio, for making this possible for us, for this show tonight being heard worldwide on the internet. Today it is April the 11th, 2018. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I am located in the town of Paradise in California. We await for Winfrey and Teddy Brown to come on the show here shortly, as they are located in Sedona, Arizona. And as usually, we do this simulcast with a conference call. And I see a person just joined in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cecil the C6 Sea Serpent from Soggy, Seattle.
All right, Cecil, welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
All right. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Good evening, John. Welcome to the call.
Well, hi.
Nancy from Orlando.
Who's this from Orlando?
Nancy.
Hello, Nancy. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nancy, you don't sound familiar to me. Have you been with us before?
I used to be on the calls all the time.
Oh, right, all right. Oh. Welcome back.
Back and forth.
All right. Thank you for being here this time.
Thank you.
And welcome to the next caller. Being here, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Good evening, Jeannie. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Prudy in North Carolina.
And welcome to the call, Prudy.
Thank you.
Hi, Prudy.
Thank you all for being here.
Hi.
Hi, Prudy.
Hi, Antonio.
Is it Antonio?
That was Cecil.
It's a Cecil. All right.
Oh, Cecil. Okay. Sorry, Cecil.
I forgive you.
Okay. Thank you.
So the helicopter hasn't arrived yet, huh?
Correct. It's not up there yet. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the call, Jane.
Thanks, hi.
Thank you for being here. More people joined in. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi. Good evening.
Edna?
Yes.
Guten Abend, Edna.
Guten Abend.
And who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry from Dallas. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you, guys.
This is Regis from Los Angeles.
Hello, Regis from L.A. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
Regis, you have been with us before?
Yes, I have, actually. Wynn and I are old friends. And,
okay, cool.
I just recently found out that he was doing these.
Oh, cool.
Is Wynn here? Is he there yet?
He's not here yet.
Okay, good.
Well, thank you for being here. I hope you'll enjoy.
Thank you. Yeah, ask me afterwards.
All right.
Well, we can chat for a few moments while we're waiting, right?
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts as to what we're going to be doing tonight?
Well, tonight is the, if you have questions, we have answers. That means that the audience can submit questions per email, and then Wynn will choose the questions that he will ask through Terry to our sources on the other side of the veil.
Okay. Can we send the emails while we're sitting here waiting, or?
Yes, you can. The email address that you can submit questions to is questions. Okay, great.
On your thing, okay.
All right, more people join in. Welcome to the call, everyone. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Good to hear your voice.
Well, you too.
Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Janine. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And more people have joined in. If you want to, please say name and location. But only if you want to.
Susan in D.C.
Hi, Susan. Welcome.
Thank you.
And the next person that joined in, we welcome you. Please say name and location.
Hi, Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heiss, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don. Welcome.
Thanks.
Hi, Don.
And the next person that joined in, we welcome you. Please say name and location.
This is Terry and Solana.
Terry Brown. I'm glad you're here, Terry.
Yay. Hi.
Welcome, Terry.
Hi. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, so I just sent a question in on email, and I'm assuming someone's going to look at it and do a quick review and decide if we want to
update it or not. Yes, when checked emails, but did you send this to the specific email address, questions@intelligentdesinfinity.
I did.
Okay, great. Yes, when the question, how the show is going.
Good. Okay. Are we waiting for Wynn to show up?
Yes. He,
like always.
Yeah. Right. Could be here in time, but lately.
Hi, this is Brenda from D.C. How are you tonight?
So welcome.
All right, thank you.
Hi, Brenda.
How are you?
Well, it seems we have people from all over the country tonight.
Well, you're saying, I couldn't hear what you said, Regis.
It seems we have people all over.
Yeah, we get people from all their country, sometimes even other countries.
And the helicopter's up there, all right. And another person joined in, welcome to the call. Please say name and location.
Hi, Dharmananda, Boulder Creek.
Dharmananda, welcome to the call. Let's see, there's an echo going on over here with this phone line. All right. And welcome to all those folks that are listening in online through BBS Radio. Thank you for participating. All right, I think we're going to have no call. I think Ben is not going to be here tonight, so we...
Here I am.
I'm just kidding, Wynn. Hi, Wynn.
All right.
Hi, Wynn.
Hey, Wynn.
Wynn, how you doing tonight?
Is that Brenda?
Yeah, it is. How are you, dear?
Hey.
All right.
I'm fine.
I'm sitting eating some southern pecan ice cream. So, what is this? Gelato. So I'm going to enjoy this call tonight.
All right. God, you're eating in front of us, huh?
I sure am. I figured you all wouldn't mind.
Hello, this is Robin.
Hey, Robin. Robin.
Hello, how are you?
Hi. I'm good, how are you?
Fine.
And who else joined in? Please say name and location.
Brad from Woodland, California.
Hello, Brad. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Right. Off the dings.
Hey. All right. So, I'll give you a call in about a half hour or so. Let's see what the traffic looks like, and then I might come over tonight, okay?
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me call you back in a while. I'm on the phone right now.
Okay.
All right.
Regis, the whole world is listening to you.
Okay. All right. I got to run. I'm on the alarm right now, but it's fine. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Is that Regis?
Yes, Regis. It is. Yes.
We just heard your plans for the night.
Oh, my plans? Okay.
Yeah. By the way, I just looked up. The traffic is not too bad.
Okay, yeah, right, okay. I thought I had it on mute, actually.
That's all right.
My question tonight is, my karma related to my technological skills?
I could say, what skills?
I have none. That's exactly right. That's the answer.
All right. Terry, are you here?
Yes.
Your name is not Terry.
I'm here.
Yeah, she checked in. I'm answering for her. She checked in earlier.
Okay.
No, it's going to be wild. It's going to be a wild one tonight, Wynn.
Regis is an old friend of mine from years ago. So it's a pleasure to have him on the line.
And possibly longer than that. We just don't know yet.
Yeah. So let's get started.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is April 11, 2018. And this is our working title for this call is "You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers," and we are going to be probably have some new people here. The source that gives us our answers identifies itself as Ra'an, and they are a combination, they say, of two group souls. The Elohim group and the Ra group. And these conversations have been going on now with me for years. And I was skeptical that they were who they said they were. It took me a few years of asking them questions and seeing how they answered my questions, and watching various phenomena and miracles happen. And, you know, Terry is the channel, and, you know, whenever there's a question, there's a possibility, there's bleed through from Terry's conscious mind. I don't think we get negative sources, but that's possible in channeling in general. A source can be talking to you today, and tomorrow you could have some voice saying they're the same source, but they're not. There's a lot of beings in higher realms that are actually what's called service to self, and they're tricksters. So, you know, when you get an answer to a question, be open. It oftentimes, in doing these calls for all the time we've done it, oftentimes we have seen answers to questions. People, you know, sometimes I don't even know what they're saying, and they say, oh my God, they knew all about me. They understood. You know, they'll mention things that they wouldn't know, and I wouldn't know, and I didn't even know that was going on. There's one time where Terry suddenly said hello to some strange name, and what was the person's name, Terry?
It was in Turkish, and so I don't speak Turkish, but they were speaking Turkish. And
yeah, I
mean, they have a lot of capabilities that I can't track. It's too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in any case, they said the person's name in Turkish, okay?
And the person's name in Turkish.
Right. And, of course, I didn't even know. It just sounded unintelligible to me. And then
I was, what am I saying, you know, but I knew it was okay.
The next day, I got an email from the lady in Turkey saying, they said hello to me. I'm so excited.
By name.
Yeah. And then on our Sunday call, we have, you know, how can I say this? There's this aspect. The people that come to the calls regularly become familiar with this. Okay? There's an energy shift on the call. And it's possible for energies to blend. It's hard to put a word to it until you experience it. But we all have some idea of that experience. If we go to a movie and everybody watches a movie together, there's a tendency for a certain blending of energies. If it's a good movie, if it's a touching movie, people walk out. They're all kind of in the same zone. If they have eye contact, they all went through this experience together. And so, but that was triggered by an external event. And on these calls, even though we don't see each other, there is a blending of energies. And the Elohim can blend their energies with us. So when we do a healing call, we have this huge group intention that sometimes makes miracles happen. And many times people's lives change as a result of being on these calls, which I have witnessed over a long time. So in any case, we're going to get started. They're probably going to do their own introduction. And is that you making rattling noises, Terry?
Yeah, that's me. I'm adjusting my head to...
Yeah. And we have a lot of calls from new people, you know. And so some of the regulars, I'll probably leave your calls off tonight. We'll see how the time goes. Whenever I put out a call to my major list, people come on oftentimes that have never been here before. So in any case, we're gonna do what's calling in the light, invocation to the light. This is like bringing the energies together verbally. And so here we go. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we ask for a group energy connection for everyone that would like to participate in that energy while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is an honor and a sacred moment in time when we are able to connect with the entities and beings in the physical realm. It is a connection that is not often made. We come to you directly. We do not come through the telephone line or the computer. We come directly, although the voice comes through the telephone line or the computer. So we are with you. If we ever say anything that doesn't make sense or resonate with you, disregard it. And do you have questions?
Yes, we do. The first question is from Norma, and she didn't give her city, but I think the question is, I'll ask it like a general question and see how it applies. Do I have any say whatsoever if I don't want to come back or be reincarnated again? The truth be told, I do not want to come back. Thank you, Norma.
Thank you. You do. It is up to you. It is your intention that will take you to the higher realms and will find a place for you and a home in the higher realms where you wish to be, where you may wish to be. If you're not sure where you wish to be at this time, they would work with you in the heaven realm to that you know all the options. Indeed, you do not need to come back. Thank you.
Let me ask a question. There's this idea that when you're in the physical, you create karma, and that you have to come back to work out your karma, and also that you have to qualify in a certain way to get in the heaven realms. Now, the heaven realms is not in the way that Terry or they talk about it, is not heaven in a traditional Christian sense. It's a place where beings go that have, as I understand it, their hearts open, but still have a lot of trauma as a result of their lives in this realm.
They don't necessarily have trauma. It is possible they do.
Yeah, one of the things, trauma or hurt or whatever they need to be rehabilitated about, okay? So
they don't necessarily need to be rehabilitated. It is not everyone that arrives in heaven in a state that needs rehabilitation.
Okay. Well, I just want clarification. The question is, are there circumstances where someone is almost driven to come back because they have something to work out in this realm, even if they had preferred not to?
It is something that if they know about it, they can dispense with it and be forgiven or work through it in the heaven realm. They do not need to come back to work through karma. Karma is an experience that balances energy from the past where one has left some energy that perhaps they wronged somebody, perhaps they made fun of somebody, and then they feel that they need to, it is like a part of them that they need to make up for that. If they heal the then they probably will come back, although they would want to come back. If one does not want to come back, they do not need to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question. This is from John Herman. Jesus said, the things I do and more will you do. Can the average person in 3D actually manifest things outside the belief system of materialism? Any advice?
Yes, one can manifest things outside the belief system. First of all, is to believe that you can, and you can then have the intention to bring in something that is not generally believed in, and you can achieve miracles. You can achieve things like instant healing, things that you believe in that if you didn't believe in them, you couldn't do the work.
Thank you. Next question. This is Brad from Woodland, California. I'd like to know, what do I need to know about my current and future family? How should my family change over time? What can you tell me about the critical choices that will be made that impact my family? Now, Brad, you're not being totally clear in your question. In other words, you're talking about your family, your wife, your children, or you're talking about your parents and your brothers and sisters, and what family is going to change over time. But let me turn it over to them and see what they tune into.
Thank you. We see a future. Children growing up with children going into professions with work that you do, that you go to in the daytime, that you take an interest in doing. We see doing some tasks. We see that you take pride in what you do. When we heard your question, we caution you to give free will to your family and not try to put them in a mold. Otherwise, it will cause restriction and they will chafe under that. However, if you keep the relationship in a field of play with a margin on either side where you require boundaries, but you let them choose, you let them grow, then you will see a blossoming of your family in all directions. Be careful not to put them in a vice or a mold that will restrict them, but on the other hand, do not let them run wild. It is a real knack to give love and to set boundaries and to give assistance and help and let your family expand within each one of them, expand their horizons and their joys and their ability to do things that they enjoy doing. But yet are still required to do tasks, to help the family in general. It is a balancing act and an act of love. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question from Regis. And Regis asks, could you discuss the consequence of suicide on a soul level? It is something I have often questioned.
Thank you. The consequence is entirely dependent upon the individual and the reasons for the desire to leave. For instance, if the pain is too great, and the look outlook is dim, sometimes it can be a relief for the person. However, often when a person suicides, they're suddenly very sorry because they realize all the things that they can't do, even if they had been in pain. They can't get through to other people. And other people can be sad at the sudden disappearance of them. And it can be like having a track, going forward on a track, and all of a sudden the footprints end. And the person is left with air and with non-ability to function, even at the level that they have been in pain. Still, when they were in pain, they could communicate, and it is often way too sudden, because if a person lets the body go through its natural cycles, then they are prepared when the body dies to move on. If they suddenly chop off their life, they are left without a paddle, without a means. Sometimes, if a person is dying anyway and has gone through the integration with the death process, then they can just step right into the death process and move on. But often, when we look in on individuals that have suicided, they're very sorry for what they have done. Thank you. One other thing is that often, if a person suicides because something's just too much and they can't confront it, they come back for another life and find themselves in the same exact circumstance that they couldn't confront. And eventually they will have to confront.
Thank you. There's something I read that when sometimes somebody commits suicide to hurt someone else, and in which case, when your suicide hurts another person, it creates karma. Is there truth in that?
Yes. If one suicides to hurt somebody, they're seeking love. They're seeking somebody to care oftentimes, and then they are left all alone without any chance of reparation. And they're just isolated, and there's no chance to make that connection, and so it is a hollow victory.
Thank you. This is a question from Phyllis in Tigert, Oregon. Currently,
Tigert,
currently sitting in Portland, Oregon, at the time of the call, and she's a first timer. Hi, Phyllis. Her question: my left shoulder, I'm told, needs total replacement due to vascular necrosis, the death of the bone, probably due to overuse of steroids. Can the bone be healed enough to not have such a radical surgery?
Yes, it's possible.
If I do the shoulder surgery, will I then be able to move forward actively in life? Or could there be more karmic lessons to be learned? And Phyllis, one of the people that we have introduced on our calls is a lady by the name of Kimberly Meredith. And she has done absolute miracles for many people. She does things like no one I've ever seen. She'll do a healing on someone, and their tumors disappear, or their tumor disappears right on the spot. There's somebody in our group that had some kind of mesh in her to hold in, what was it?
Hernia mesh.
A hernia mesh, and the mesh disappeared after the healing. I'm not sure if that was confirmed, but she felt it disappeared. So her website is thehealingtrilogy.com, and she is in Los Angeles, and she does do stuff over Skype, and she is the real deal. I mean, she does this publicly, and she's got numerous testimonials on her website. They may even be doing a TV show based on her. So on that note, I'll turn it over to our sources, because maybe they could make a comment if that is a worthwhile thing to pursue.
Yes, it is a possibility that she would be able to do something, but it's not her that does something. It is her team, which is from the higher dimensions, along with the Holy Spirit. So you may start asking the Holy Spirit for a healing right now. And you may wish to check out her website and see if she can give you a Skype session before you try radical surgery. There is some chance that surgery will lead to further problems, not establishing blood flow properly, we would suggest you ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and check other alternatives, and we also send you healing energy right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Edna asked the question, I would like to ask if mathematical formulas are utilized in absolutely everything that is created in the third dimension. I am so fascinated with the mathematical equation and formulas that represents, translates in the everyday events that we experience in the third dimension. So I see and understand this concept of creation, and I am logically able to interpret it when I am sleeping or in a different dimension. On the other side, when I am awake, my brain is too slow and cannot make any sense of it. I'd like to be capable of training my awakening brain to be able to interpret the mathematical formulas in the same way that I am capable when I am asleep. Is that possible? Why is my brain so slow?
Yes, the brain is made of components that take some time. It consists of the mind and the nervous system and the higher self. It takes some time to get it together, and it is connected to the third dimension, the physical world around you. However, if you can access the part of your brain that isn't connected with the physical world around you, that is connected with all that is, and you can run with that. It is not physical, but it is a different part of the brain that can be developed, so you can let go of the physical for the time that you are reviewing mathematical equations. We would love to be able to speak to somebody in mathematical equations. It is our basis of operation. However, it is mathematical, so it is very hard to translate it into the physical, which is very slow. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question that the person didn't leave their name, but it is an interesting question. And the question has to do with something called a grand solar minimum and what effect it will have on North America and the entire planet. And I looked up a grand solar minimum here while we were waiting, okay? And a grand solar minimum, let me see here.
Is it when the minimum activity is being generated by the sun?
Well, the grand solar minimum is where the energy of the sun goes low. And that if it happened to a great extent, it seems to indicate that people are afraid that there could be an ice age, okay?
Yes, that is true, and there can, and there has been in the past.
Is there a possibility of a grand solar minimum in the near future?
Well, we do not see the grand solar minimum to create an ice age in the near future. However, the sun is at the level of generation of energy and burning dimly, more dimly now, but we do not see the grand solar minimum that would create an ice age, but it may create cooling for a time.
In other words, we may find cold weather.
Yes.
And is this, how soon would we see this cold weather? Is it happening right now?
Yes, it has been colder in the winters when the sun is in the, more in the southern hemisphere. It has been colder mm-hmm. in the north than normal.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Next question. Jim Blayhut asked a very interesting question. Let me just see the question.
Yes, we love Jim. Blayhut.
Yeah, here we go. I didn't think I would have time for it, but I'm looking it up, okay? Here we go. Okay, a portion of the global society has been created to be more susceptible, even if only in an unconscious manner, to connecting with the spiritual attributes of the metaphysical. It is this group that I think of when I use the metaphor for awakening. Consider the analogy of a dormant seed being exposed to water. Like the seed and the involuntary nature of germination, so does the star seed involuntarily begin to germinate as it relates to awakening and the energetic alignment that begins to take place once exposed to love light catalyst.
Speaking poetry, yes.
Even if it is unconscious, is this automation accurate? If so, because it is not possible to help directly, what catalyst best serves as the water to the seed? And, you know, just to make Jim's question simple, there are many people that are in a process of waking up because of the energies on the planet, even though many things on the planet are getting haywire, simultaneously, people are waking up. But as they wake up, they don't necessarily have a complete conscious understanding of what's going on. But the waking up may take place in being more loving, more sensitive to other people, more compassionate. And Jim is asking, and he's saying, when people are exposed to love light energy, which many of the people on this call are experiencing, but they get the understanding of it. What catalyst best serves as the water to the seed?
It is individual, and the catalyst is what the person is looking for. They are looking for an answer, some kind of an inkling, some kind of a memory, some kind of a sense of connection. They are looking for something, and it is through whatever they may be seeking, that's where their focus is. And there is something in that area that for these people who are ready to wake up will begin to give them an inkling that there is something there to sense, something more to know, some place more that they came from, that is, of a more loving nature, that some place that they can call home, some place they have been, that they can remember the energy of, and can sense the opportunity to learn more, or to know more, or to be catalyzed to expand and become more aware.
Thank you. John Siborowski asks, at what point in the timeline from fertilization to birth does the soul enter the fetus?
The soul enters the fetus. Very often, the soul is, if it has been, say, an individual that has taken over the body, but is way too much bigger than the body to condense into that. It depends upon the individual, because some individuals are able to condense and get smaller. Other individuals are very large, and they sit on the outskirts waiting for the body to be born and take it over when the body is born.
When they're on the outskirts, are they inside the mother or outside the mother?
Outside.
Outside.
Yes. And the body itself then develops itself, and the individual soul is outside and is manipulating the body from the outside.
Mm-hmm. And second question from John, what is the relationship or interaction between the soul's DNA and the DNA of the sperm and the egg? And just a comment here, we know there's an interaction between the soul, the DNA of the past life is carried in the soul.
Yeah.
And the DNA in the sperm and the egg is from the parents.
Yes.
So, and then there
is... It is emerging.
There is an impact of astrology on the DNA as well. So, can
it is
you,
where the person develops a veil.
Mm-hmm.
A veil to understanding, a veil to, as it is, other aspects coming in into the person's life that then slant the lifetime toward some of the DNA and some of the problems of the parents and the ancestry.
Mm-hmm. If the soul is hanging around the fetus but hasn't come into it yet,
yes.
Is there an energy transfer going on at that point prior to being
yes.
in? And is
yes.
there a DNA transfer going on at that point?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And if the soul then, does the soul ever decide not to enter that fetus once it's hanging around it?
The only circumstances we think of is if something happens to the fetus. That makes it difficult to connect with it then further.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if there's a stillbirth or something like that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. We got 2 minutes left. I wonder, let's see. We do have some. Oh, here, this is Robin. Question from Robin. Robin, I don't know if you're asking for them to make a decision for you here, okay, which they don't do. This is, that would be a violation of your free will. So I will read this, and we'll see how they answer it. I am in San Diego working on finding a place to live for my new job, which doesn't pay as well as my last job. I'm also fielding possible other job offers in Orange County, which are still pending. So far, I haven't found any place that was affordable yet in San Diego. My question is, where should I look to find an affordable place? And should I wait for the pending job in Orange County? Thank you, Robin.
It sounds like you have one pending job in Orange County. And the questions are, if you wait, will it affect the new job in San Diego?
Now, she said, I'm fielding possible other job offers. And then later she said, I have a pending, should I wait for the pending job in Orange County? So she's saying two different things there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like the Orange County job is locked in stone.
No. However, we suggest if you can easily find out more information about when they make decisions or how they make decisions, and find out a little more about the potential for the job. How much does a job in Orange County pay? Is this something that would be better for you than the job in San Diego? If it came through, one of the chances are when particularly are the chances that it will be decided upon. See if you can find out any further information that will help you make up your mind here.
Yeah, I mean, one thing is, she looked for a long time to find a job. So it sounds to me like San Diego is a bird in the hand, and Orange County is a possibility, you know? So,
yes, I mean, you can quickly find out more about the potential for the job in Orange County, to give you some more data on whether you should wait.
I mean, if it was me, I would be very, if there's some reason you prefer to live in Orange County, that you've lived there in the past, then I would tell them that you have a job offer and you prefer to be there, but they're going to have to tell you very quickly if they want you, okay? Just be candid. So,
yes.
You know, it puts them, if they want you badly enough, then they'll respond to that.
Yes.
So, on that note, we are at the end of this call. We're 3 minutes over.